Hi, it's Paul Sackett, Good News Planet. I'm speaking to Tom O'Brien, Dr. O'Brien. Hi, how are you?
Hi, very well, thank you. How are you today?
Okay, very good. And I'm very enamored, I will say, with what you have put together here in your new book, How to Stop the Hidden Autoimmune Damage That Keeps You Sick, Fat, and Tired Before It Turns into Disease. Autoimmune Fix. Okay. Dr. O'Brien, tell us what is autoimmune, if I could say it well.
Yes, yes, of course. Thank you. You know, it turns out when you look at the science, and this is my 30 years' work is figuring this out, and I give all the credit to my mentors. I didn't create any of this, but the message is really clear. When you read the science, cardiovascular disease, we think, is the number one cause of getting sick and dying in the world, is cardiovascular disease. We think that cancer is the number two cause of getting sick in the world, and that when you pull together the autoimmune diseases, like rheumatoid, psoriasis, multiple sclerosis, celiac disease, that's the number three cause of getting sick and dying in the world. That's what everyone believes. But when you look at the science, cardiovascular disease is an autoimmune mechanism that sets it off. Cancer is an autoimmune mechanism. Now, it'll manifest as cancer. For somebody else, it manifests as your pipes plugging up and you get cardiovascular disease. But the mechanism is autoimmune. So, and I'll talk about what that means. Your immune system is attacking yourself. But just looking at the numbers, once we look at the science and we see that, then the number one mechanism in getting sick and dying in the world is your immune system attacking your own tissue. That's autoimmunity. And the scope of it is just jaw-dropping, that when I lecture on this to different physician groups and they see the science, their jaws drop. They say, I didn't know that. So what that means is that when you want to be healthier, When you want to have a clear functioning brain for years and years to come, have lots of vitality in your senior years and you just don't want to get sick, or if you already are sick, then you look to the immune system. This is patient. Your immune system is the armed forces in the body. It's the Army, the Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Navy. It's there to protect you. So when your immune system is activated and overreacting in the body, damaging tissue, that's the mechanism that sets off the whole disease process. Now, what disease you get just depends on where the weak link is in your chain. When you pull at a chain, it breaks at the weakest link. It's at one end, the middle, the other end, your heart, your brain, your liver, your kidneys. Wherever your genetic weak link is, that's where the chain's going to break. But it's the pull on the chain that we have to deal with. That's why doctors have been unable to say what causes multiple sclerosis or what causes rheumatoid arthritis. The only one that they can say for sure, and that's where all this science came from, was understanding there's one autoimmune disease we know for sure where it comes from, and that is celiac disease. Celiac disease comes from eating wheat for people that have this genetic sensitivity, and they get the autoimmune disease celiac. That's the only one that we know for sure. Everyone accepts that. But rheumatoid, no one knows. MS, no one knows. Psoriasis, no one knows. And the reason is there is no one thing like wheat that causes these. It's the pull on the chain. So for some people, the pull on the chain is a food sensitivity. There are many studies that show if you have a sensitivity to dairy, then you run the risk of developing multiple sclerosis. There are many studies that show that correlation. If you have a sensitivity to wheat, you run the risk of developing celiac disease. So there are a few foods that we know of, but there are many triggers that can set it off. The basic message to start with is when you pull on the chain breaks at the weakest link, and it's your immune system that initiates that whole process. That's what the book is about.
Well, what actually is the immune system? I mean, do we know what the immune system is? Is it, what is it? Is it blood? Is it our veins? Is it what actually is it? Is it the bacteria in our interior What is it?
That's really a good question, you know, and that makes me laugh because I'm such a geek and a nerd. I think it's just common everyday knowledge, and of course it's not. It's just that I've been studying this for so many years. So it's a really good question. Thanks so much. Your immune system is the system of the body that's there to protect you. We actually have four different immune systems. We have one in the blood, we have one in the gut, we have one in the brain, and we have one in the liver. Four different immune systems, but they're all there. It's our body's defense. See, we have the exact same bodies as our ancestors thousands and thousands of years ago. And in terms of the environment and what was dangerous in the environment that they needed protection from, there were five things. There were bugs, parasites, viruses, molds, and fungus. That was it. Those were the threats from the outside world that could get into the inside world and cause problems for us. Bugs, parasites, viruses, molds, and fungus. So our bodies develop the ability, a kind of a sentry system, that if a certain bug comes in, it activates this whole mechanism firing these high-powered rifles that kill the bug that comes in. They're called cytokines. And they will kill that bug. They just destroy it. They break the walls of it. Then it's a bunch of little pieces of residue that the body gets rid of. So it's bugs, parasites, viruses, molds, and fungus. That's one major function, the primary defense mechanism function of our brain. Of our immune system. The second function of our immune system is to get rid of old and damaged cells in our body. We have an entire new body every 7 years. Every 7 years. Some cells regenerate very slowly, like bone cells. They're very, very slow. Some cells regenerate very quickly, like the inside lining of your gut regenerates every 3 to 7 days. And so the body has to be able to get rid of the old cells, the damaged cells, and make room for new cells. And that's another job of the immune system, to get rid of the old damaged cells. And then your body makes new cells. So the two main jobs of the immune system is to get rid of the old damaged cells and also to protect you from foreign invaders coming in, viruses, parasites, bugs, mold, and fungus. An example that everyone does, that most people do quite often, is when you exercise. Let's say you pump weights and you're working your bicep muscle. And when you really work it, if you work it hard, the next day your muscle's sore. Why is it sore? Because you did some micro tear in the muscle, micro trauma in the muscle. Well, those tears, those muscle cells that have been torn, it's the immune system that gets rid of those muscle cells so that you can make room for new muscle cells that are stronger and young and fresh. That's how you build muscle, is that the immune system gets rid of the old damaged cells from exercising, and then there's room for new cells to come in. So your immune system protects you. It gets rid of old damaged cells. It makes room for new cells, and it's always in the background there to make sure nothing gets in to damage you that shouldn't be there.
How do we fix these things, or how do we deal with them, and what's next step? So you've written a book. And you have a tremendous amount of people, some that I know, some that I've interviewed. David Perlmutter, you got a whole group here. You had your best-selling author, Mark Hyman, Dr. Mark Hyman, the forward here. So obviously there's a lot of people thinking on what you're thinking about here. How do we live a nicer life? Probiotics? What do you do?
You know, that's a really good question. Thanks. The first and most important step is that you can't fix what you don't know about. And the idea of taking a pill to be healthier just doesn't cut it anymore. It doesn't matter if it's the best multiple in the world, the best probiotic in the world, it doesn't cut it. This is why, and this is really a wake-up call, that for the first time in the history of the human species, for the very first time, the New England Journal of Medicine published a paper that tells us children, you know, forever, in the entire history of humanity, every generation has been a little healthier, lived a little longer than the generation before it. Every generation. But now, for the first time in the history of the human species, children born today are going to get sick earlier in life, get diagnosed with degenerative diseases earlier in life, and die at an earlier age than their parents. That when, you know, their parents died and they're 74, kids are going to die. Their kids are going to die earlier than 74. For the first time in the history of the human species, this is happening. Now, just let that sit for a moment. What does that mean?
You're tearing my soul apart, but go on. That's terrible. Are you serious?
It's the New England Journal of Medicine. And we all bury our heads and don't want to hear it. But now I'm going to give you the next statistic that just shocked me. I flew home from Austin last Saturday. I lectured there. And I was flying home. I was reading the newspaper. And there was an article that the World Wildlife Federation, coupled with two major universities, had just published a paper saying that there is a 57% reduction in wildlife on the planet since 1970. And I said, oh, that's too bad. And then I went on to read the next article. I land in San Diego. You know, I live in San Diego. I land at the airport, go out to the car in the parking lot, driving home on the freeway, and I almost hit the brakes. Wait a minute. We've wiped out 57% of everything that lives on the planet in 50 years? 57% of the elephants are gone, of the walruses, of the rainbow trout, of the earthworms, of the bees, the honeybees. The average is 57%. The worst areas are around fresh water. Now that starts making a lot of sense because all the toxic chemicals we're dumping on the soil in our farmlands, they run off into the streams, and the animals drink the water. If humans were drinking stream water, we'd be dying off much earlier also. So this is a wake-up call to the planet. What we're doing, the way we're living our life, and I'm not an alarmist, but, you know, I'm a geek, and I read the studies. And when you read this stuff, now you see children have a shorter projected lifespan than their parents. And we've wiped out more than half of all the living beings on the planet. They're gone in the last 50 years. What the heck is going on? And when you read the book, or if you listen to Betrayal, and I'm going to talk about this series that we're doing, if you listen to this docuseries and listen to the world experts, what you hear is that it's all of the environmental toxins that we're exposed to now, day in and day out. Every single day of our lives. Children born today in America, the Environmental Working Group published a paper on this 3 years ago, I think it was. They looked at babies, newborn babies, and they found 9 out of 10 newborn babies have 283 chemicals in the umbilical blood that are not supposed to be in the human body. 283 chemicals. These chemicals bind to your brain. They bind to your liver. They bind to your estrogen receptor sites. They bind to your testosterone receptor sites. They plug up the thyroid. It just depends on the chemical, and you start reading about what these things do, and you go, oh, my God, holy cow, this is what? And when you take a step back and you see the big picture of this, you realize what kind of a planet's going to be left for my grandchildren. You know, my first grandchild was just born recently. And what kind of a world is she inheriting for her kids if in the last 50 years we've wiped out more than 50% of everything that lives on the planet? It's gone. It's gone. Hmm. You know, and how can we be so blind to this? We don't want to hear this information. And anyone that says, hey, wake up, world, is categorized as a fanatic. You know, but the New England Journal of Medicine tells us kids have a shorter projected lifespan. Environmental Working Group tells us every newborn baby has 283 chemicals in their blood that aren't supposed to be there. 9 out of 10 newborn babies, 283 chemicals that aren't supposed to be there. When I came out into practice in 1980, the incidence of autism was 1 out of every 4,800 children. Today, the incidence of autism is 1 out of every 43 children. And it's projected, this is from the National Academy of Sciences, and it's projected by the year 2025, one out of every two boys born in America will be on the autism spectrum. Wake up, people. Autism.
How do we...
Autism. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, finish your, your thoughts.
Autism kids, they're on the autism spectrum. It's rare, but some of them are quite functional in life. Most of them are not functional. One out of two boys born in America by the year 2025 are estimated to be on the autism spectrum. They can't live on their own. Who's going to take care of all of them? This is like a wake-up call. This is really, I don't know how to do this without being kind of, I guess I could say, it's interesting to note that in the studies, one out of two children are projected to be on the autism spectrum by the age of 2025. Is that going to have an effect on you? You know, I don't know how to do this. But if you read the studies, it just drops your jaw. And then, of course, you get the scientists that work for the chemical companies that say there's no evidence that there's a problem with glyphosate or GMO foods. There's no evidence. You know, and if you look back to the newspapers, look at the newspapers from 1952 or 1951. Just go back, and if you've got a service that can search in the newspaper, look for damage from atomic bomb radiation. And you will see our government was saying there's no evidence that the radiation is any problem at all. It's very safe because they're talking about the nuclear bombs going off in Nevada above ground and all of the nuclear bombs. And they said they're perfectly safe. Don't worry about it. So that's what we're up against is the industry, like the tobacco industry. We all know the story about that. They lied through their teeth for years and years. That very famous picture that was on the front page of the New York Times called The Seven Horsemen. No, I'm sorry, The Seven Dwarfs. The Seven Dwarfs. And it was a picture of the heads of the seven tobacco industries standing before Congress with their hand over their heart and their left hand raised up, swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and they lied through their teeth. They all knew that nicotine was a problem way back in the 60s, and the reports took years to come out, but they came out. You're going to see the same thing about vaccines, that for some people, vaccines are a real problem, and it would not be hard to stop the problem aspect of it. It would just cost the industry a little more money, but they're not doing it. You start to see this stuff, so you've got a choice. When you start reading the science, you can read the science from the independent scientists, or you can read the science from those that are funded by the industry, and then you choose which one to listen to. I mean, it's unbelievable. We won't be able to keep our heads in the sand much longer.
So you have written this book, The Autoimmune Fix, How to Stop the Hidden Autoimmune Disease Damage. So
yes.
give me the intro concept. So what does someone do to that? They get your book, they read it. I know you have an upcoming class on November 14th, I believe. As well, which would, I'm sure, be extremely useful for somebody. First, tell me, what is the first thing you do? Do you recognize that you need to evaluate yourself, and how do you go about to do that? And then, two, tell me about your upcoming class, please.
Oh, okay. I'll give you an example of a patient. Now, many people have heard that if there's a problem in your gut with the good bacteria in the gut, there's something about that. You know, it's supposed to be healthy for you. You know, it's supposed to help protect you. Most people have heard something about that. Turns out that when you talk to doctors that specialize in this kind of thing, they know that one of the common indicators to look for of a trigger that sets off acne in children, in teenagers, may be what's going on in your gut. That if your gut's way out of balance, it affects your skin. Many doctors know that. Unfortunately, most of our dermatologists aren't familiar with this because they weren't taught this in school. But so if you take a child, she comes into the doctor, and there's a type of medicine called functional medicine. And I'm on the faculty of the Institute for Functional Medicine, and we teach doctors how to get the big picture, how to really take a look and see what's going on for the patient. Now, most doctors don't have the time to get the big picture. You get 6 minutes with them. That's it. Maybe if you're lucky, you get 12. But it takes time to get the big picture of a teenage child and the symptoms that she's presenting with. Now, I'm not talking about a crisis like you fall down and break an arm. I'm talking about something that develops over time. So here's a case study, and this is so very, very common. Little Kathy is born, and shortly after birth, she's colicky. She cries a lot. And there's something about her tummy, and the doc says, oh, she'll grow out of it. Don't worry. She'll grow out of it. She's safe. You know, and the parents' hearts are kind of grabs their heart when their child's screaming like that. But it's just called colic. Not too long after that, maybe by 8 months or a year, she has her first ear infection. Gets a prescription for antibiotic, everything's fine. 6 months later, she's got another ear infection. She gets another prescription for antibiotics. From there on, she gets ear infections 2 or 3 times a year, every year. Or let's make it strep throat, it's the same thing. 2 or 3 times a year, every year. And she gets antibiotics that seem to take care of it, but it keeps coming back. Now she's 8 or 9 years old, and she says that her tummy hurts, or she's bloated. You see that she's got a big, fat tummy, and it's not proportional for the rest of her body. Or she's got constipation, and she doesn't go to the bathroom very often at all. Now she's getting to be 11 and 12, and her hormones are starting to change, and it's really a mess, and she's having lots of problems with that. She still has constipation. Now she's 13, 14, estrogen's starting to come in, and she starts getting acne. And she goes, parents take her to a dermatologist. Dermatologist says, oh, you've got acne here. Take this antibiotic. It's going to help. And it keeps it under check for a few years. Now, it's still there, but it's nowhere near as bad as it was. But the antibiotics keep killing off the good bacteria in the gut that are necessary to have nice skin, to have smooth skin. And she keeps getting worse and worse in terms of symptoms that come up. Now she's diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome in her 20s. Then later in her 20s, it may be fibrocystic breasts that develop. I mean, there's a whole pattern that can occur. But let's not go into her future and where it goes. Let's stay as a teenager. She goes into the doctor for acne. The doctor gives her a prescription. But she doesn't have an antibiotic deficiency. Acne is not from an antibiotic deficiency. Acne is most commonly from a problem with the internal environment of the gut. Most commonly, there's a toxic environment in the gut, but the doctor doesn't have time to figure all that out because they can't take that kind of a history to see that the infant was colicky at birth. Yeah, ear infection started at 6 months or a year old. There were 12 infections over the first 10 years of her life. She had antibiotics for every one of those infections. So you see, I'm painting a picture here. It's the same thing for an adult that comes in with high blood pressure or a middle-aged person that comes in with cancer of the breast or cancer of the testicle. Of course, you've got to treat this stuff, but where did it come from? How come the immune system allowed this to occur? And when you go back in the history, you discover, my gosh, look, I didn't realize that I felt like this then. I forgot that I felt like this. I felt like that. And you start to see the pattern. So the very first step in dealing with a complication, a complaint, a health complaint, the very first step is that we have to take a step back to get the big picture. We have to see, where is this all coming from? And when you do, then it starts to become a little more obvious. That's why, and the book just outlines this whole step-by-step progression in the development of diseases. And you come in and you've got thyroid problems, or you come in and you've got a weight issue that you can't get rid of, and the doctor says, well, it's your thyroid. And then they give you thyroid medication. But of course, if the thyroid's not working well, you may need thyroid medication at the moment. Of course. But why is the thyroid not working well? Let's use the thyroid medication right now while we're figuring out where's the emergency brake that's holding back the thyroid from working the way that it should. That's what functional medicine is. And so you're asking for a simple cure. What do you do? And there is no simple cure. And people have to wake up to this. There's no simple cures. There is knowledge. You can't fix what you don't know. So the first step is to take a step back from whatever your health complaints are, ask the question, where is this coming from? And when you just ask the question, it stimulates the desire to get information. That's what the book is about. And the last year of my life, while I was finishing this book took 2.5 years to write, but while I was finishing it, I traveled the world interviewing 85 of the world experts on autoimmune diseases and patients who have gone through autoimmune diseases. And you see the patient that shows you her MRIs of her brain with 8 lesions, and then 2 years later, here's the MRI of her brain with 1 lesion. And she said, and all my symptoms are gone. And how she did it, with diet and exercise and enough sleep and the simple things that we all forget about in this crazy society we live in. So we interviewed all these people, and we put it together in a 7-part docuseries that's going to be online for free. It's all free. The world experts, for example, Professor Yehuda Schoenfeld from Tel Aviv University is the godfather of predictive autoimmunity. And one of his most impressive credentials in my mind is that 28 of the doctors who got their PhD under him, and there are many more, but 28 of them who studied PhDs now chair departments of immunology in med schools and hospitals around the world. They're his students. So I interviewed Professor Schoenfeld because his new book had just come out, Vaccines and Autoimmunity. And he talks about the risk of developing autoimmune diseases, the number one mechanism in getting sick and dying in the world. Remember, that's how we started this show. His book, and I interviewed him about this, and he said, Dr. O'Brien, we are very much in favor of vaccines. Of course, they have saved millions and millions of lives. However, if the person carries the gene HLA-DRB1, and that's a particular gene that 30% of the population has, 30% of the people listening have this gene. If you carry that gene, caution is advised in the administration of vaccines. They should not be delivered aggressively, meaning 3 or 4 vaccines at one time. They should be delivered one at a time, weeks apart, so that the immune system in this genetically vulnerable person is able to deal with this assault, which is what a vaccine is. You know, you get a shot for measles, you get an immunization for measles. They give you the bug measles, and your immune system has to fight it. But he says caution in the administration is advised. And allow it to take a little more time to deliver the vaccines that need to be delivered. Common sense. And that's what we talk about. The series is called Betrayal, the Autoimmune Disease Solution They're Not Telling You. And it's going to be free online to everyone that registers. And you can register by going to betrayalseries.com/good news. BetrayalSeries.com/good news. And you can register. It's all free. And for 7 days, November 14th to the 20th, you will listen to the world experts talking about the number one mechanism in getting sick and dying in the world, autoimmune mechanisms, and the patients who have applied these principles that I talk about in the book, who have applied these principles and reversed their rheumatoid arthritis or their psoriasis or their lupus, or their Alzheimer's. Dr. Dale Bredesen runs the Buck Institute. That's the Alzheimer's Research Institute at UCLA. He published a paper in November of 2014 completely reversing Alzheimer's in 9 out of 10 card-carrying Alzheimer's patients. They completely reversed it over 5 years. And the first thing everybody thinks is, what's the drug? What's the drug? There is no drug. There were 34 points on the checklist. Do they have a wheat sensitivity? Do they have a gluten sensitivity? Do they have lack of B vitamins? Do they get enough sleep? Do they get exercise? All of the simple things in life that we know we're supposed to be doing, that's exactly what Dr. Bredesen did with these people. It took 5 years, but completely reversed it in 9 out of 10 patients. The 10th one, there was just too much damage, and they couldn't reverse it. That's the hard evidence. You reverse. autoimmune diseases. You reverse Alzheimer's. You reverse Parkinson's, rheumatoid, MS. But people have to understand there's no drug that will ever do this. The drugs will help with the symptoms. There's benefit to that. But they do not deal with the underlying mechanism that develops over many, many, many years.
This is unbelievable.
I'll give you one more example. Dr. Melissa Arbuckle published a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2003. It was called a translational paper. Transitional paper. Completely changed the way doctors think. This is what she did. She went to the VA and she looked for people with lupus. She found 130 people with lupus in this one VA center. Now, if they're in a VA center, they're veterans. If they're veterans, they're in the armed forces. If they were in the armed forces, they had their blood drawn many times when they were in the Navy or the Air Force. What most people don't know is that the government's been saving and freezing all of that blood since 1978. They've got tens of millions of samples of our service people's blood. So Dr. Arbuckle knew this, so she went to the VA and said, can I have permission to look at some of the blood of the currently diagnosed lupus patients when they were healthy in the Air Force or in the Navy or in the Army? So she got permission. What did she find? Every single lupus patient had all seven antibodies to lupus elevated years before they ever had a symptom. Years. Now, remember I said earlier, the antibodies get rid of old and damaged cells. That's their job. But when you have elevated antibodies, you're killing off more cells than you're making. And so with lupus patients, these antibodies were elevated 9 years before they ever had a symptom. When they were elevated like that, years and years before they ever had a symptom, they were killing off tissue. And when you see the graphs in her book, you see every year the antibodies went up, all seven of them went up. They were elevated, but they kept getting more elevated until they plateaued at a certain point, and you killed off enough tissue. Now you start getting symptoms, and it took those people 6 months to 2 years to get the right diagnosis. Then they get the diagnosis of lupus. Well, when did they get lupus? It was back when
Hello?
Is this David?
Hi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So Alzheimer's... Alzheimer's is a decades-long process. There are many steps to it, but it's decades of killing off your brain cells. It doesn't happen when you're 60 or 70. That's just when you've killed off enough brain cells, your brain can't function anymore. And even in those cases, in 9 out of 10 cases, Dr. Bredesen completely reversed it. But it took five years and a very, very comprehensive overview. So that's the autoimmune fix. That's what we're talking about here. That's what betrayal is about. And I'm hoping everyone will get the book and just read this, and you're going to have an OMG. It's like, oh, my God, I had no idea. And mm-hmm. then just look it up. You'll see all of this is accurate. I put all the studies in there that you can go and look up if you want to. And then go to betrayalseries.com/good news and register for betrayal. And you will listen to the experts talking about this. You will hear the world experts from the Netherlands and Lisbon and Barcelona and Leipzig, Germany, and Sao Paulo, Brazil, and the U.S. from Harvard. You'll hear all of these different experts. I've been traveling the last year accumulating all these interviews with the purpose of giving it to everyone for free. And that's Betrayal. Amen. That comes out November 14th.
All right. We're going to promote all of this. Congratulations. Once again, how to stop the hidden autoimmune damage that keeps you sick, fat, and tired before it turns into disease, the autoimmune fix. Dr. O'Brien, hi. Okay, well, you've done a great job here. Thank you so much for sharing. And what's your website as well?
Oh, thank you, Paul. It's
It's www.thedr.com. The doctor, but don't spell the word doctor out, just DR, thedoctor.com.
Oh, that's a good one. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing good news with us.
It's a pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.